Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hi, I'm Don Fluckinger. Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Charlene Underwood, Siemens Senior Director of Government and Industry Affairs and Chairperson of the Board of HIMSS. We will be discussing how recent Medicare data and HIMSS analytics research indicate some interesting short and long-term trends for health IT adoption. Thanks for joining us today, Charlene.
Thank you very much.
Well, tell us a little bit about what CMS and HIMSS analytics data is saying about health IT adoption and how rapidly that's happening across the country.
I think that you hit the nail on the head with what you asked, because remember, this program's goal is to increase adoption. I'm going to present two views of the information, one from the HIMSS analytics viewpoint and the second from CMS, as you requested. As you look at the HIMSS analytic viewpoint, it will be in the context of a model that they've created. It's called the HIMSS Analytic EMR Adoption Model, or ERAM. And the context of that model is there's multiple stages of adoption that people go through to get to the electronic medical record. The upper stages of the model are going to be what we talk about, 4 to 7, because those stages are more equivalent to what providers have to do to achieve meaningful use in the incentive. The bottom line is, over the past 5 years, there's been a very significant increase in adoption for hospitals, 635%, from 3.7% to 23% in 2011. And these are to get to stages 4 to 7. So again, these are kind of advanced functionalities, clinical documentation, CPOE, data exchange, and again, the hospitals kind of are in the range, so about 25% in 2011, 23% in 2011. From the primary care physician practice, we've likewise seen a pretty significant increase in adoption, from actually 50%, from about 20% in 2008 to about 30% in 2010, so that's pretty high growth. As we look at this, the bottom line is meaningful use is really kind of been the rallying cry to really move providers up the ERAM model as well as to adopt, because it's given them a common platform to rally around, from hospitals, public health centers, and to health information exchange. So I think there's pretty significant evidence that there's momentum in the adoption rates of EMRs.
Are providers pretty much online with electronic medical records at this point, or at least are in the process of implementing electronic medical records, or are paper workflows still sort of normal out there for those who are on the other side of, say, HIMSS stage 4?
That's a great question. The ERAM model, as I kind of talked about, indicates there's multiple stages of adoption. So the reality is most providers today live in a hybrid world. They're in the processes of implementing various functionality to move to that paperless world that you talked about. There's still a very small percentage who are at level 7, which is literally equivalent to being paperless. There's more than there, but it's a very small percentage, less than 2% of hospitals that are really there. However, most are working toward this, but the bottom line, it's a journey. One of the biggest goals of the HITECH Act is to move to computerized physician order entry, where physicians enter their own orders. And in that way, and that's a huge step for hospitals, we'll move away from physicians handwriting their orders. Still, it's about 1 in 5 hospitals in the United States that have reached that goal.
So how has the federal meaningful use program impacted this? I mean, we're hearing in our conversations with providers that incentive checks will only cover a fraction of the EMR implementation bill. Is it really moving the needle, or is this stage 3 going to be achieved by 2015, or will this be a much longer process in your estimation?
The momentum, as I mentioned earlier, clearly is on the rise. The most recent numbers that CMS has reported out indicates a pretty significant increase in providers, hospitals, and physicians who have registered for this for the program. For instance, effective the August numbers, look like there's today 90,000 eligible professionals and hospitals that are registered for both Medicare and Medicaid programs, and that's a significant increase over what was in July. In the July numbers, the new numbers indicate that over $259 million were paid out in the month of July, which brings the total amount paid to date to $252 million for all of the programs. Now, the bottom line to the question that you ask, well, is this what they expect? Is this moving fast enough? I think there is some concern, certainly, that it's not moving the market fast enough. But in listening to the discussion from CMS and ONC, they recognize the need to come together, collaborate more, find more ways to, if you will, moving the needle. The question relative to are we going to be done by, 2015, I think there's going to be a lot more providers on the road to electronic medical records. I don't think we're going to be done because, as I mentioned before, it's a journey to implement the breadth of functionality to really move to that paperless space, given that only one in five hospitals is there today.
We've also been hearing a lot, not only about EMR systems, but also about clinical decision support and data analytics and the role they play in the coming meaningful use stages. Do you see these as eventually as common as EMR systems as we move through the later stages of meaningful use, or will clinical decision support and data analytics systems really be reserved for larger, more sophisticated, maybe even teaching hospitals?
I think actually that these types of systems, the data analytics systems over time, will probably be as common as EHRs, and I think that's a great question. There's really two drivers. The intent of meaningful use is to use EHRs and HITs to help providers improve care, increase efficiency, and ultimately reduce costs. It's really not intended in the end to be an IT initiative. So, like, I'll give you an example. One of our customers is approaching meaningful use this way. They have four facilities, yet only three facilities actually qualify for the meaningful use stimulus. However, they thought about it. Let's begin with the end in mind. And as we look at doing these projects, let's measure what we're doing and make sure that these apply across all four facilities as opposed to just three of those facilities. So they really focused on across all their facilities, capturing their data in the right standards, and then using the data they captured, and again, they standardized it, to feed their data warehouse or their business analytics system so they could actually report out. Now, the benefit of that is that they can now look at the data across those four facilities and look where they need to make improvements in their performance. So that approach that they used, where they standardized what they captured and they fed it to the data warehouse and now they're improving their process, is really what this whole meaningful use process is about. And it is absolutely essential for them to survive in programs like value-based purchasing, bundled payment, and all of the new payment systems that we see emerging for health reform. So kind of the infrastructure we're putting in place for meaningful use and quality reporting is going to be a key element that's necessary for success and survival under health reform. So I think it's going to be a fundamental application that applies certainly not only to the larger facilities who can do it today more easily, but also some of the smaller facilities.
Well, our website's core audience is the hospital CIO. What should they be doing now to prepare for the next stages of meaningful use from a systems perspective? What kind of decision support and analytics projects make the most sense right now, or at least have the best return on investment and might be easiest to convince the CFO to sign off on?
For your audience, in terms of preparation for stage two, we see a couple key things coming. Again, for what is currently in meaningful use stage one, they just need to plan to increase thresholds. Again, you see the same kind of capabilities that are in stage one, but it's just doing more. So that's pretty straightforward. They should have the infrastructure for that pretty much in place. Two other major elements in stage two, we see a lot of focus on interoperability. This is the hardest stuff where they've got to connect with their physician practices. They've got to connect with the public health services, investing in interoperability strategies, making sure that their vendors have interoperability plans in place is going to be a crucial element, making sure that the data standards that they're putting in place are important. What we see in stage two around that is, again, a focus on specifying vocabularies, and that means providers, if they can standardize their vocabularies within their systems today, it will help them better map to those standards as they emerge. And the last thing, I think, is the area that you just pointed on. We expect there to be more measurement that comes out of stage two. So where in stage one, hospitals, for instance, have to do 15 measures, there's clearly an intent to do more measurement in an automated way for stage two. So having those tools, those business analytic tools that enable them to, again, build the system with the right evidence and then measure their adherence to that evidence through clinical decision support kinds of systems as well as business intelligence systems, I think is going to be very important. The line that we don't see necessarily is, okay, what is the trajectory in terms of actually having the data that I capture inform pay-for-performance programs? That's a little unclear yet. We certainly expect that to happen at some point, but the trajectory to get to actually submitting data from the EHR such that it actually makes them accountable for what they get paid, that's not as clear yet. But clearly there's a lot of effort on the national front to clarify that roadmap.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly looks like our hospital CIOs have their work cut out for them. Thanks for joining us on this podcast today.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.